Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi guys, welcome to this week's episode of Heavy Metal Tones with me, your podcast host, Tony Evans. Bit of a treat this week. We get to interview, or I get to interview Ralph Haber from Heads for the Dead, Rot Pit and Revel in Flesh. He's one of my favourite singers, as you know, if you listen to the show. I love their product. I love everything they do. It just touches me in a right place when musically should. That sounds a bit naughty, doesn't it? But you know what I mean. Maybe I should. Anyway, it doesn't matter. His first language is German, so please do bear with him. Sometimes there's a few pauses because he's trying to get his head around the language. But he interviewed beautifully. Such a nice guy. Such a talented guy. Hope you enjoy the show. I really enjoyed interviewing him. Chat to you later on. Now for Ralph Haber and from Heads for the Dead. Hang on. So, Ralph, how are you going? Good at the moment?
Yes, I'm doing well. Ready for your questions.
So I'm with Ralph Haber from Heads for the Dead and Rot Pit and Revel in Flesh. And he's one of my favourite singers at the moment, and has been for some time, in a very interesting way. He's one of the... What would you say? You do horror death metal? Would you say that your style of music?
My Heads for the Dead concept is about mixing horror movie elements with death metal.
Yeah.
And so transferring the atmosphere from a horror movie into a death metal kind of package.
Yeah. I mean, I think it goes hand in hand really well, doesn't it? Because horror movies and death metal are really kind of synergy, haven't they?
Of course, it's the bands did it already in the late 80s, so it still works.
it does. But you know,
the horror never stops.
Yeah. Because your latest release, In the Absence of Faith, which is a mini LP, I think is your best work with that band for me. I really, really think you've polished it so well, you know. Is it one of your favorite? Do you think it's come out well for you? Are you happy with it?
It's always hard to pick up a favorite, but In the Absence of Faith is like a closed chapter because all songs on this mini LP are under the concept of losing faith or losing your belief, which is a common topic in horror movies. And the music on this mini LP was more focused on a melodic and more movie type of atmosphere. So it slightly differs from the previous albums, but it still feels like being Heads for the Dead release.
Yeah, that's what I thought, because it really was a sort of a different a sort of sidestep from The Conjuring, The Great Conjuring, The Conjuration, sorry. Which is your last full-length LP. I just thought, like, track for track on it, I picked up that it was about that concept straight away, But the particularly for me, the possession just brilliant. It's my single of the year.
Yeah, that's nice. Glad that you liked it. It's our Mike Oldfield tribute, so to say.
Oh, I love it.
And it came out nearly the same period when the Exorcist movie re-release came out at the cinemas as well. So, but this was not intended. It was a combination of luck and being there at the right time. So I think it really hit the nail on the head.
Yeah, yeah. I was just blown away because I'd listened to the snippets you sent out as singles before the EP came out. And, you know, I mean, up to that point, for me, I think your second album was my favourite. But Slash and Roll, listeners who haven't listened to your stuff and who listened to my show should go and I did do an episode on your on The Great Conjuration, but they should definitely listen to Slash and Roll. I think that's another classic of your
collection. Slash and Roll was also like a close concept mini album based on the slasher movies we like most. Mm. And musically, it was more like death and roll mixed with punk and horror elements. And it was really as well inspired by Wuthering Blues from Entombed. In some way, but mixed up with, you have the Ramones cover, you have the Misfits cover, and you have the little atmospheric elements in there too. So it really feels as well like a closed chapter being dedicated to the horror and rock and roll, so to say.
Yeah, I also, the packaging is so beautiful. I know that, you know, you don't listen to the packaging, but when I got that in the mail from, because you were with Transcending Obscurity at the time.
Yes.
And I was just blown away by the artwork. It's just fantastic on that little EP, you know. I think it's one of my favorites of all of them. Yeah.
I'm glad you like it. It's also our vision to always have a complete package that the music and the artwork goes hand in hand. Mm. And that's have an eye catcher on the cover. It's really important.
Yeah, it is. I think In the Absence of Faith was a great one. I'm not sure. I look at that picture all the time and trying to work out what I'm looking at. You know, it's quite an interesting cover for the latest one.
That's a challenging one. It has been an idea of Johnny to use this cover. He created it from a tattoo he had and with many effects on it. It's done in a modern way. You know, art is always something like take it or leave it. And we wanted to do something new, progress with new colors, progress with new elements, to go forward. Even with The Great Conjuration, we already started to change the color patterns of the art itself. Mm. We went more to a yellow purple setting, and this time to more brown setting. In the first album, we had the red, white, black setting. Yes. So then a new release, a new kind of setting to give it a fresh breath.
Yeah, because I agree with you, because when I was looking at the latest one, it did feel it sums up the album very well. The artwork, particularly this, as you said, The Absence of Faith. I really like the little nuances you put in, like, of course, the Tubular Bells in Possession, which was, you know, made me smile. As soon as that came on, I was like, yeah, I got the goosebumps. You know, I was like watching The Exorcist again. And then, you know, all the sort of like audio clips. Was that hard to get that onto the work?
I think Johnny is really dedicated into the songwriting. He has his own mindset when writing the songs. Mm. Yeah, and he also had a really good vision what kind of drum beats fit to his riffing. And then we worked together with Matt from Sentient Horror from the States, who does all the solo work. And he's a fantastic guitar player and transfers the basic compositions on the next level, adding a sort of highlight to it within the songs with his solos. Yeah. And reaching a new dimension to the songwriting process.
Yeah.
And I my vocals embedded in the structures and behind around the solos and leads and atmospheric stuff. So it's like a puzzle you set together.
Because I thought that Matt's solos was fantastic on this last EP, just brilliant. Very rock and roll, which was slightly different, which I liked as well.
Yeah, he's pretty much influenced by, more classical rock metal guitarists. He likes a lot, old Megadeth solos and Randy Rhoads and stuff like this. So,
So, I mean, it's an interesting mix because all the people in your band have all been, they've got so much history of other bands they've been in. I mean, how did you find your voice is very distinct, I find, when I listen to it. I can know your voice as I hear it. How did you find that sound? Was it hard to find?
You mean now the combination of all people together or...
Your vocals.
Yeah. I think... back in time before we founded Revel in Flesh, I was in a band called Immortalites, and we did more some kind of melodic death metal, and I have done some backup vocals there. I realized, okay, maybe I have a stronger voice than the main vocalist and we can work on this. And then the band fell apart. We still had song ideas left, and I thought I want to go on making music, and so let's try to record these old songs. And there was no vocalist, so I did the vocals. So this is what the first Revel in Flesh album came together. It was more like recording some sort of ideas I couldn't realize with the old band anymore. And this was maybe the basic point where Revel in Flesh started. And I learned the vocals from zero, so to say.
Wow, because it has that sense, when you listen to hopefully the listeners to the show go and listen to your stuff, particularly all the way through Revel in Flesh to Heads for the Dead, your voice is very dynamic in the respect that it's not, where people get scared about death metal vocals, I can't understand. I understand every word you say in your lyric, right? It's even though it's growling and aggressive and heavy, it's well enunciated,
That's the thing I'm really taking care about, that you hear the word, the single word, it's still the pronunciation is still understandable. So sometimes you hear the German English. So this make you laugh, but it's always, believe it or not, when it's not your native language, it's sometimes really hard to find the right words and to also involve new words in your death metal vocabulary or how you like to spell it. So, but I really take care that the people understand at least the words. You have a lot of extreme vocalists out there where the vocals are just like a soundscape element.
Yes.
And I'm still inspired by, the classical death metal vocalists like David Vincent, Carl Willits, Dave Ingram, and Jan Gris from Gorefest back then, where you really could hear the words, or Chuck Schultern.
Absolutely. Because I think it would be really sad, because your lyrics are really good. I mean, again, I keep going back to the latest EP, but the lyrics are just brilliant. Because I know all the movies that you've based them on. I've watched them all before I heard the songs. So when I heard the songs, I knew I just knew. You could tell that you'd love the movie and you wanted to relate in lyric, and it wasn't just a mindless, like you said, soundscape. You actually tell a story,
The lyrics are absolutely based on the movies and they are message of the movies. So it also helps me to write the lyrics when I have more the movie concept in front of me, and the movie transfers a topic I really interested in. So it's also easier to write lyrics about it.
Yeah, because I felt that the opening track off of of the new one, which is based on Heart of Darkness. Am I right? Am I remember rightly? Am I getting that in the right order? The movie Heart of Darkness?
The Heart of Darkness is basically part of the Apocalypse Now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And the Heart of Darkness was originally the book it was based on.
Yes, I thought so, because I'm going, I know that, and it's Apocalypse Now, which again is, it's a nice mix, because you go from that to The Exorcist, and, you know, it's a really...
Yeah, but you know, it's the Apocalypse Now is based as a war or anti-war movie, but it also has the concept about losing faith and reaching the edge of madness.
Yes, it does. Across down the river, right? Yeah.
Absolutely. You're going down the river and into the heart of darkness.
Darkness. I was blown away by it, because I, you know, on the Slash and Roll EP, you have one of my favorite slasher movies of all, which is Maniac, right? Which I think, which is one of those movies. I grew up in the 80s doing the video nasty thing and watching lots of very graphic horror movies when I was a kid. You know, all of the nasties, or the Fulci movies, the Dario Argento movies, I love them. But Maniac was one of those ones that always made me look, go a bit, ugh. You know, it is one of those movies that makes you uncomfortable. Even Tom Savini said that when he did the makeup effects, he felt a little bit uncomfortable, like he'd gone too far. And I think that you portray that in the music and that EP really well.
Yeah, the movie is really scary.
It is.
But you know, you can really have scary neighbors.
Yeah, you can. And each set piece is quite dramatically splashy and big. And I think that comes across in the music as well, you know. So also, I love the Halloween. My daughter's a big Halloween fan, fan of John Carpenter's music. And when that came out, I was like, gotta listen to this. It was just so, it really summed up the movie so well.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun to do this this mini LP. It came also out during the Corona pandemic, and basically, the two releases during the pandemic was Into the Red and Slash and Roll EP, and it was really creative moments to focus on these songs, getting these lyrics together, and get into the atmosphere of the songs.
Do you record remotely, or all the rest of the band not far from you?
The problem is Johnny Peterson is located in Sweden.
Yes.
In the north of Sweden, Matt Moliti, who does the solo work, is located somewhere in the States.
Right.
And, the drummer playing on In Absence of Faith is located in Bristol, UK. And I'm sitting here in the south of Germany.
Yeah. So it's like the world music.
Yes. You have to forget about the lovely picture you have of four or five people sitting in a rehearsal room and recording everything.
Yeah. Is that the modern way you think now? Yeah.
Everybody works a little bit on his own, and it works for me as a vocalist and a lyric writer. It works really well, because I can listen to the music, get into it, and get into my world to create the lyrics, to get into the mood, and then I book a local studio here and do the vocals.
Then I send
up files to Johnny, and Johnny does the mix and mastering of the stuff. He adds certain effects, or help me to do different settings of the vocals or stuff like this. He's also a vocalist on his own, so he knows how things work.
Yeah, it doesn't come across like that. You know, I was talking to Tony Doolin from Venom Inc. a little while ago. And they recorded during their last album during the pandemic. Everyone's all over the world. And I was sort of a bit concerned that it would be flat because you're not dynamically together, but it doesn't come across that way at all.
You know, sometimes you have bands, when you listen to their albums, then you hear that they are rehearsal room writing bands. You have bands which you hear that, but you have also a lot of good written music, which is written from people all over the world, not placed in one room, and it still feels good. You know, yes. It's also the way how do you like to produce music, how do you like to write music, and what kind of feeling do you like to transfer. If you really like to do some kind of rehearsal room vibe or sound, then you need a more combined connection with more people in one room. But if you like to have a mix which is more clear, more separated, then it's really no problem to work on distance.
Yeah, and I think that's, again, I think that's we're lucky in the modern world, aren't we, because of computer technology and the speed of internet and blah, blah. Yeah. So where did you meet the band? Did you meet them in other bands?
With Johnny Peterson, I did the split with his band Boombas with Revel and Flesh. I think this was like 2015 or 2016, and we have written a lot during that time, and also about music, about movies, and came to the conclusion of doing somewhere some music together. Then he was in Germany visiting Summer Breeze Festival. He stayed at my place and we talked, blah blah, drank a few beers, and then more or less the idea of doing something musically together has grown. He has started songwriting, I have done the vocals, and yes, this was the birthplace of Heads for the Dead becoming the debut album.
Brilliant.
Circus.
Brilliant. And where did you get the name for the name of the band? I have to find that out.
I think it's basically from a part of the song from the band Death Breath from Sweden.
Gotcha. Okay. Because I've been Googling it, trying to work out. It was a movie quote, and I'm like, I can't find this.
there's a lyric phrase like giving heads to the dead.
Yeah. Fantastic.
And I had this in mind, and then we taking this heads for the dead, you know, but it's like a classical horror movie, Night of the Living Dead or blah, blah of the dead.
Are you still watching modern? Do you watch modern horror movies and get inspiration, or are you just only the older ones? Do you think?
The older ones are still the most inspiring ones, but I also like newer ones. Last year, I think I watched the new version of the second version of The Nun, which was really cool.
I haven't seen it yet. No, I had some on my list to do.
I like those newer movies who have a sort of retro touch to it.
Yeah. Because one of my favorite movies of all time is The Thing. And you did The Thing. Yeah. And it was like, well, how could you? I was like, oh, how can this be done? And it was, yeah, again, I'm always amazed by like that, you know. You should just do Nosferatu for me now and everything will be done.
Yeah, you have good new movies too, but I think this is like a horror genre is a little bit like death metal also. So the good stuff is already written, you know?
Yes, the golden eras, right? Yeah.
The golden years have gone, so.
I agree. I think I agree because like music with movies, when you've got that, when you've got that sort of pioneering frontier, when people just, there's no rules, you just do what you want to do. And I think that's why now we'd say make some music and a lot of movies, it's because it's now running to a formula, because it's already been done. So you don't get as, that's why the older stuff I think is free and more mad in some ways, because it's uncapped, right?
You know, with the older stuff, I think it's more, no, it's a part of your lifetime. You discover something and then it's really interesting. You cannot reproduce this feeling anymore.
Yeah.
You know, when you've seen The Exorcist for the very first time, it's a magical, shocking moment. You cannot reproduce this feeling. But you can transfer the feeling maybe in a new direction, in a new vibe, and giving a musical inspiration about it and develop your own ideas about it. So this is at least what we try to do.
Yeah. And in your other band, in Rot Pit, Are you? I listened to that recently because you sent me the link to listen to. It's very. It's a, again another sort of musical direction difference because it feels quite sludgy, and grimy compared to other ones that you've done. Is that a deliberate move as well?
Of course, it was being. You know, you have in Heads for Dead more atmospheric elements. Mm. You have in Slash more the melodic elements, and Rock Pit is about the rawness.
It feels raw. The guitar in it is very raw. I love it.
I absolutely enjoy this kind of raw and cave-on style of death metal. And it's a different energy and different vibe about it. And I think my vocals work there really good too, to adding some kind of deeper elements to the soundscape.
Yeah, it's very cavernous. It has got that sort of cellar feel, right? You know, the cellar dweller feel.
You know, when we did the Rock Pit stuff, it was let's try out three songs being in a style like old Finnish death metal, you know, like old Demigod, the old Abhorrent stuff, the Pre-Amorphous stuff, and Disgrace, or something more similar like this, mixed with our way of Swedish British influences as well, and keeping this music more not sounding like Revenant Flesh, not sounding like Wombas, more like underground style,
you know? And I think that's what really took my breath away when I listened to it. I thought, God, just take me back. It was like listening, being in my mate's Mark's lounge room as a kid in London, putting on Celtic Frost for the first time, and going, what the? You know, like, this is unbelievable. Like, it had that feel, that real sort of very thick, big sound, you know.
Yeah, there was the idea was to do it simple but effective, you know. We first had a free song demo. This demo turned out really well. I got a 7-inch version about it, and then we did the first album, same style but progressed in a different way, more atmospheric, some more melodic elements in it, but still raw to the bone. And now currently we're working already on the second album.
And
it's gonna be more groovy, more brutal, and also with the cavernous elements. So it will be the next level of rottenness. So.
Yeah, I think you're very good at that, at taking things to next levels. You don't seem like listening to the growth of Heads for the Dead and Revel in Flesh. It doesn't stand still. It does change as it goes, and I think that's a good thing, because you're not getting same old, and I mean this, you know, the AC/DC thing, where it's just the same thing over and over and over, you know.
Yes, you know, you have to see with Heads for the Dead, it's a pretty wide open possibility to do this kind of concept.
Mm.
We also have elements in Heads for the Dead which the really narrow-minded old-school death metal fan don't like. We have keyboards, we have soundscape elements, and we have some modern touch to it, but it's this kind of concept gives you the possibility to play with open cards, new ideas, and gives us the chance to do a release where you don't know what to expect.
Yes, and that's what I love.
Yeah. Now, of course, in some way, when you're playing in a band like Revenant Flesh, Wombas, like Johnny, they are always connected with this kind of Swedish kind of death metal. And when you're a musician, you're sitting always in the same box, and people expect you to sound something similar like this. But for being the active part of it, I think for everything I do, I try to reinvent myself with new ideas, bringing new elements to it, and progress within the boundaries that are possible.
Yeah, I think that's good art, though, isn't it? Because, I mean, I'm sure you know, there's a lot of bands out there that feel trapped within their, because they, you know, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. You do something different, the hardcore fans have a go. You don't do something different, you don't get the other audience. You know, it's a tough decision.
But it's, you know, it's metal, and metal fans are sometimes less flexible.
Yeah. Yes, I've heard that.
But you know, take a look at Iron Maiden, always using the same cover artist, in the same way, but it works for the people. The band progresses with its boundaries, of course, but they always have the same look, and you know what you get.
Yes, you know what you get, exactly. That's why I love Maiden, exactly. Yes,
surprises in there, but you know that it's. You sign the deal with it when you buy it.
Exactly, right. It is, but they've done it. Rick, I love Maiden because I love progressive music, right? And and they've slowly introduced it without anyone actually ever knowing.
Of course, you know, with Revenant Flesh, with each album we use the same cover artist, like Mr. Castellano from Spain. Yeah. And when you have all albums lying in front of you, is like a huge landscape. It's all the same artist, and it's you know, it's the trademark thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I love the last cover.
You see it, you recognize it. It's like this is really a similar concept thing, like Iron Maiden, like Cannibal Corpse, like Amon Amarth is also a band dealing with the same settings, and it's a take it or leave it thing. But the good thing, I can do this with Revenant Flesh, with Fats for the Dead, I can do something totally different. And with Rock Pit, I do things looking nasty.
You're so lucky in that respect, you know. Hey, speaking of logos and continuity, I actually like the old, you know, the old Heads for the Dead logo that was all entwined, looked like worms and things. And then you went with the more traditional.
You mean the hand-drawn logo?
Yes, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
This logo was done back then from Mark Riddick, who also has done the Revenant Flesh logo. The idea was that we go for a standard lettering logo to avoid the typical thing of being a death metal band from the right view, you know?
Got you, yes.
And also to have it a little bit different than the Revenant Flesh stuff.
Yes, yeah.
And I think when we released the Serpent's Curse album from Heads for the Dead, the artwork itself was really something challenging for people because they've seen it and they thought, is it a horror movie? Is it a doom album? Is it a gothic album? Is it a black metal album? Or is it maybe a death metal album? You know, it was... open for many categories, and it's made it really, really interesting for people. Especially inside the death metal thing, not many bands at this point worked so far with Studio Panca from Barcelona, and I think we really had a refreshing element to it.
Yeah, I love your artwork. Is big. Also with the artwork, I was going to say this one here. I don't know if you can see it. Can you see? I don't know. Hang on.
Just slash and roll.
Yeah. This is the one I get the most comment on. I've got all your T-shirts, but when I wear this one, this is the one I get the most comment on. People absolutely either look at it and get a bit like, oh, what are you wearing? Or they like they love it.
Yeah, it's a bit looking like a rock and roll design, you know?
Mm.
It could be. Ramon's shirt or something.
Exactly. It's my favorite one. I wear all the time.
It's good.
And when you where do you go from here with Heads of the Dead? Have you got a new album coming out? Well, are you working on new material for that?
Johnny has already written like 10 new ideas for a possible new full-length album. Each song based on a specific movie.
Oh.
It will be a return to the classical horror movies. not one specific thing. The whole album, different movies, but all rooting in the classical stuff.
Brilliant, brilliant. I mean, again, it's what you do well.
We have Johnny has already written the basic songwriting. Lead guitars, solos are still missing, and it will be a mixture between, in the absence of Faith, the Great Conjuration, but also with more atmospheric to it and some surprising elements as well.
Brilliant.
I have so far no lyrics. I'm collecting ideas where to sing, where which part works for me for doing verses and stuff like this. I always have the ideas when I go walking and stuff. I have on headphones to get into the ideas and write down the lyrics and
Yeah, I was one of the things I love words. I like writing, but I play very badly at the bass, but I could never write a song. I always put the pen on paper, and I always feel that I'm making it sound, how to say the word? It just sounds like, I don't know, just terrible rhyme after terrible rhyme when I put the pen to paper. So when people like you can write lyrics, and it's just, I'm always amazed by it, you know?
Well, you simply have to do what you feel well with. Yeah. So, and let's see where this new album will go. It's still a long way, but we're into it. So
brilliant. And would that be on Pulverized Records this time around again, like the EP?
It will be our next release as well on Pulverized Records.
Yeah.
We will give them a full-length album as well. And this, In the Absence of Faith, was the first release on Pulverized Records. It was good progress for us. And we are up to doing a new challenge on their label.
Yeah, because it's a good label. I mean, I like stuff off Transcending Obscurity. They have some crackingly interesting bands on that label. But it was interesting when you moved. It was a surprise to me that you'd moved to Pulverized.
The thing is, the deal with Kunal and Transcending Obscurity was fulfilled. We had a good cooperation. He helped us a lot to build up the band and to get a good basic together. And I think the logical step for us was trying out a new business partner, a new setting. And the good thing for us is with Pulverized Records, they are main distributor in Europe is in Germany. It's Kachel from who also did the Revenant Flash album.
Mm.
So they have a main distribution here in middle of Germany. So for the European stuff, they have the Nuclear War now in the States, where people can buy their stuff, and they have their own shop in Singapore. So it's easier to get stuff.
It is, because when I ordered your last, the EP, I got it from the Singapore because it's closer to Australia. It came very quickly. It was nice. Yeah. It was not like we have to wait 3 months. You know, it was almost here.
Yeah. We really had a good cooperation with Kunal and Transcending Obscurity. It was simply the thing moving on to something new and giving something new a chance to grow on both sides.
Yeah, and I really hope you do, because, you know, I think that bands like you, not just Heads for the Dead, but Revel in Flesh, Rock Pit, these are bands that are the basis of the movement, isn't it? You know, we all got our Slipknots and our Iron Maidens and our blah blah blahs, but it has to be underground to grow up, right? Like,
of course, I think you have to see the facts. With Heads for the Dead, it's a studio project.
Mm.
We do studio recordings. We don't do live performance. It's really hard nowadays to keep a band growing when you don't play live.
Yeah, I know. That's one of those things that I'm never going to get to see you live. It's like,
The thing is, you have the promotional process before the album gets released, and then you have the release process, and after 2 months after the release, the album will be going into the abyss, so to say.
Yes.
Because there is so much stuff coming up next, and when you don't play live, you don't keep the circle going. So, but all we can do with Heads for the Dead is doing new stuff, doing better stuff, and getting people to listen to the music and let the music itself speak. So
yeah, I think with you as well, particularly, it's a word of mouth. You know, if someone loves something, they'll tell someone else. Got to get this record, listen to this. And I suppose with the world of streaming now, it's much easier for people to just dive in quickly and go, I like that, you know.
I think you have to see it like this. We released in the meanwhile 3 albums with Heads for the Dead and 2 mini albums. It's for a very short period of time. And it's really growing. We see that it's growing. So a new album will be the next logical step, and also the next step on reaching more people. So, but yeah, the scene and the media stuff is always changing with each year, and it's always a different way to reach out for people.
Yeah. I mean, do you I mean, obviously you have your, listeners can find you on your Facebook page and your Bandcamp page, and I think Pulverized Records on there as well. You can go and buy your lovely product from there. Do you think that you would grow, if you could play live, do you think you would grow bigger, like quicker, do you think?
Of course. It would be, I think this would be a really much bigger band if you would have played live.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it attracts, yeah, there is elements for a classical death metal fan, but also for people being more into the horror stuff.
Yes.
Know? And I think this has the capacity to reach more people. Absolutely.
Mm.
It's for the Dead.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, there's a lot of us out there that love horror movies, and they also like our death metal. So it's nice to mix the two. I mean, obviously, a few bands do it. You know, it's quite a competitive subgenre.
Yeah.
But I think you do it with more elan and more style, to be honest with you.
It's, you know, when you listen to our stuff, it's like bands like Fulci or Necrophagia. Mm. You really think that those are freaks into.
Oh, freaks. God, yes.
So, and in the end, it's for freaks, you know.
I like Fulci because I like the way that Fulci has a lot of instrumental work in their work. I quite enjoy the you know, because I really like Goblin, right? You know, and so it's nice to hear music that's sort of modern Goblin in that respect.
Yes.
Yeah.
And also Necrophagia has also been a big influence in doing this kind of stuff.
Yeah, you can hear it as well. It's there, which is really fantastic. Yeah. So are you playing live with Rock Pit around? Are you coming, got some live gigs for that?
Rock Pit have not played live, but you never know. I think it's much easier to give to bring Rock Pit on stage than Heads for the Dead.
You know, they're locally.
Rock Pit music is more more like a classical rock lineup, you know.
Mm, yeah.
But you need to perform, and you never know what happens. But I think it's more possible to see Rock Pit than Heads for the Dead.
Yeah, so, I can just imagine Heads for the Dead at Wacken. It'd be amazing. it'd be outstanding.
Yeah.
It was a dream.
You know, sometimes it's good to have sometimes music which you can only listen at home or on headphones. And
true.
You know, sometimes.
The Beatles did it, didn't they?
When a live show can't fix the imagination you have, then you ruin the band.
Yes.
Yeah. And you know, with this Heads for the Dead, you have a lot of these movie elements and these samples and stuff, and it's more like a circus comes to town, and you can't do this with underground band, you know?
No, exactly. Right. You need big video projectors, and yeah.
It's more like a circus comes to town, and this doesn't work, you know?
Brilliant. Oh, fantastic. So I'm really looking forward to eventually the new stuff, but honestly, Ralph, I just love your work. I'm really pleased to have a chat with you. It's one of my highlights of my year so far. And thank you very much.
The year has just started, so I'm glad to have you. So.
It will be. Trust me, it will be. But have you ever been to Australia yourself? Have you come over to this part of the world?
No, not really. I have never been to Australia or Asia.
I think you'd enjoy it. Yeah, it's hotter.
There are still many places of the world I haven't seen, so I can check this list. So
yeah, one day, you never know, right? And if you're ever over here, you must let me know, because we'll have to catch up and have a beer. It'll be nice. Good German beer.
Yeah, this would be really, really nice.
Yeah. Well, thanks for chatting to me today. I really, really enjoyed it. I know it's been difficult, you being in Germany, me being in Australia, and you work very hard, and it's not easy to run a music life and to live a normal life, because you've got to pay bills, right? It's not easy.
I really enjoyed it, and thanks a lot, man.
No, pleasure, man. I'm really looking forward to new stuff. I really do hope that the listeners to the show do go back into the back catalogue, because I did a review of The Great Conjuration when it came out. Actually, speaking of which, one of my quotes from one of my reviews is on the front cover of your, on a sticker.
Okay,
great. The Great Conjuration. It's okay. The top one. And it says, heads of the dead. Yeah, the top quote.
Really? Okay, that's great.
Yeah, yeah, Metal Ruse.
I've got the vinyl.
Yeah, so have I. I've got them all. I love them. So it's again such a nice package. You pull it out. The trouble with anything these days is you go, oh, it comes in 6 colors. What color? I have to get 4 of them.
it's the problem. There have been 5 colors. Okay, you know, it's it has been done 500 pieces. 100 color each, 100 pieces each version, yeah. And the people tend to buy colors.
Yes.
Personally, when I buy vinyls, I often buy the standard black one.
Oh well, yeah, I do. I collect a good big vinyl collection, and I'll have, if you do it in black and color, I buy both.
Yeah, but you know, the freaking thing is, you really have people who want all versions. You have freaks out there who need all versions and stuff like this. It's really freaking me out because I have a huge music collection too, but I only have like 5 to 10 albums where I have different versions. So
yes, I have to say, certain bands will do that. Like Maiden, I buy every version. Like, you know, Judas Priest, I'd buy every version.
Like, so you have like a whole living room full of Maiden stuff. So
I do.
Because I think collecting all Maiden stuff is probably financially the biggest nightmare you can have. So.
Oh, I've got a friend of mine who's a massive Maiden fan, lives, and Matt, he's a friend of the, he's listened to the show, and his collection, blow your mind. Like, if you got, he did a video of his collection, my jaw was on the floor. I'm like, oh my God, he's got everything.
Okay.
But then, you know, that's his thing, but he's got covered in Maiden tattoos, and that's his... That's his love, right? So, you know.
Of course, it's being a metal maniac to the bone. So.
Yeah, he definitely is. He definitely is. But anyway, we better wrap it up, because it's getting late here, and you probably need to rest because you've been worked so hard recently. But again, thanks for chatting. And I'll put all the links to all of your paid your merch stuff in the show notes below, so people can hear it, look at, click on it, and buy some of your lovely stuff. All right.
Thanks, man.
That's all right, man. You're all right.
Okay. Nice thank to chat to you.
Yeah, man. Thank you, and have the rest of your day. All right. Have a good day.
You too.
All right. Bye, mate.
Bye.
Hi, guys. That was Ralph Halber from Heads of the Dead. What a great interview that was. I really enjoyed that one. As we said at the beginning, you know, English is not his first language, but he did really, really well. Had so much fun with that. As I said, I'm going to leave links in the show notes to get to all their lovely merch, where to listen to them, and some. I'm going to put in there some recommendations as well. If you enjoyed listening to him chat to me, do go back and listen to my episode which I reviewed The Great Conjuration, and I also did In the Absence of Faith. Anyway, bye for now. Thanks for listening. See you next time.